Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Smeeds.
Smeeds?
Yeah.
Like the guy that was Captain Hook's right hand man.
Not Smee. Smeeds. S M E D E S. I'm sure it's Smeeds or something like that. But we'll have to ask the expert Lee Battelle later.
Mr. Battelle can.
He'll let us know.
Yeah, he can definitely get us on the right track there.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. Football season is here. It's time to have that new look. If you're still rocking that Banner M polo, you're a square.
You're a square.
You're not cool, Daddy-O. And I'm just trying to help you out there. So head over to College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the half shell. Or shop online at collegecornerstore.com for a great selection of MSU gear with the logos that you want at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. And if this weekend or any weekend we're going to be in Starkville, you need to make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on your to-do list just because the food is fantastic. You know, we get caught up sometimes in these restaurants and like, oh, they do this and they do that. Does the food taste good? Because if it does, I'll eat there. And the food is always, always delicious at Restaurant Tyler. That's the thing I'm the most concerned about, and they nail that 10 times out of 10. So if you want the best meal in town, you're going to head to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you everything that you're looking for in a bank. All of the financial opportunities, the investment services, the money management that you expect from those big corporate banks, but then the small town service, the know you by your first name, easy to get on the phone that you want from those small town community banks. It is the best of both worlds. Nowadays, you can't afford to wait when you have questions about your money. You want to be able to talk to somebody directly. That's why you need to do business with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you there. Priority. Tuesday shows means Mondays we spoke with Jeff Lebby over at his press conference. Again, short and to the point. What was today's length of press conference?
It was like 10 minutes long.
It was not long. Let's see here. Yeah. All right, Lebby is here, 11:43 a.m. That's all for Coach Lebby today, 11:53 a.m. You were right, 10 minutes.
Crazy.
It's just, but here's the thing, like, I don't feel like we're getting shorted on information either.
No, he just gets right to the point.
It's really,
he doesn't ramble.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest with you. I
don't think that it's like he's just, you know, not answering questions. I mean, we're done with our questions.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're not asking questions. We get everything we need to know, like,
plus
pretty quickly.
Like, you know, with Stefan gone, that a lot of the dumb questions are gone now.
Right.
Now, Coach, can you tell me something so I can write about it? It's like it was ridiculous.
It was all Stefan.
Yeah. I bet Ohio State's having terrible press conferences right now. We don't miss him at all, by the way.
Come back, Stefan.
I miss you. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I feel like we're asking the questions. He's answering them. It's just maybe, you know, tempo is just his life, man. Maybe, you know, like the fast food's not fast enough for him. You know, he's like, you got to speed things up in the drive-thru. I don't know the answer. Let's talk about what he gave us this week. I think the main thing is just from an injury standpoint. And don't forget, next week we will get official injury reports. Not on Monday, But on Wednesday for Mississippi State versus Florida, you will have an official injury report. We'll know who's out and everything like that. But Mississippi State today talked about on the defensive line, some big losses there. One loss that's not that big is Eric Taylor. No longer with the program, just never really made an impact here at Mississippi State. Let me say that Calvin Dinkins and Deontay Anderson, they're hopeful, is the quote. They're back, but they were planning to not have them this week. Calvin Dinkins, it just cannot get right. He just cannot get right. And I don't know that any one player on this defense, especially this defensive line, is a huge difference maker. But Dinkins at least gave you some presence and some power in the middle that it feels like you're lacking without him.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know what to really make of his status, you know, what Jeff Lebby said. I mean, it certainly wasn't, like, reassuring that he was going to play or Deontay Anderson. I don't even know what happened to Deontay Anderson. I don't remember him being injured in the game. He just kind of – it just showed up before game time that he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on with him. I don't know, you know, where Dinkins stands, but he said he was hopeful for those two. They certainly need both of them to play. I mean, the defensive line is as thin as I could remember at Mississippi State. So I don't know what to expect, but they desperately need both of those guys back.
Yeah. So we'll see when they can get them back. Like I said, it doesn't appear like it's going to be this week for Mississippi State.
I don't know if we can say it doesn't appear or it's set in stone either way.
Either way.
Because he didn't really offer anything like that for Kelly Akari last week.
Yeah, and you got him back.
Yeah, so I don't think he's just – I think he's using his last chance to hold
he's
back.
He's going to enjoy it while he can.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this, but, like, so does that mean when State plays UMass in week, what, 9, they don't have to do this report?
Yeah, it's just for SEC
games. It's just for SEC games. That's interesting.
And so I don't know. So,
like, the last week of the season, Florida State, Kentucky, Louisville, Georgia Tech, they don't have to do it.
Mm-mm.
But State and Ole Miss will, Alabama, Auburn will. That's weird.
Well, did you see last week what they did? South Carolina, Kentucky had an injury.
Yeah, they had one.
Thing. So
because they were the only conference game.
It's on the SEC website.
Right. I looked at it. Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
So this week.
They only need it for conference games right now.
This week, A&M, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, South Carolina. And that's it. So three games, 6 teams for doing that. I asked Lebby about tempo. We talked about it a little bit yesterday about how it felt like they were not running as fast as they wanted to. And he said when they had the opportunity to run tempo, he felt good about it. But he did mention that the officials held them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what he doesn't say there is they're holding them up because you've made subs and you're allowing the defense to make subs.
Yeah, I didn't understand that because that's the reason they're standing there is because when you make a change on offense, the defense has an opportunity to make a change as well. So I didn't understand that because if they're just running tempo and not changing guys out, they don't have the referee is not required to stand over the center or whatever. So yeah, that was a little
odd.
Yeah,
my question. On the run defense, he talked about missed tackles. He said they counted 25 missed tackles and 250 yards after contact. My friend,
that's
before we go any
rough.
Further, that's the sign.
Okay, before we come back in, I want to make sure everybody knows Brian was getting on to me for talking before he inserted that clip. When he never does that.
When I say the sign,
he never gets mad.
Shut your mouth.
This is the second time that we've done this. I had no idea what we're doing. He never told me about this. But meanwhile, on every Sunday when we're getting ready to talk about, you know, the new coffees
for
people, we're doing a strange brew thing at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't say anything until after you go through your rambling.
Yeah, well, I guess you're just a better person than me.
I mean, geez.
Your parents should be proud of the man they raised. How about that?
Now, I don't have anything else to say to that. I mean, I guess you pretty much you made me speechless on that because you actually gave me a compliment.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting you to fire back, but no.
What you do?
I hate when that happens.
When you have an argument with somebody, give them compliments, but do it in an angry voice.
Yeah.
Because then they don't know how to handle it. You know?
Well, I think you're an upstanding young man.
Huh? You're really handsome. What do you think about that?
I don't have anything bad to say about you.
There you go. The sign is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. We've seen the sign on Mississippi State's run defense. We're going to tell you about that in just a minute. When you want to see some great signs in your business, you need to call Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years of experience. Go to their website, pipridgeland.com, to get a better idea of the incredible number of services for everything they can do in the interior and exterior of your business as far as signage. Also, all of the great marketing materials, brochures, flyers they can put together for you. They can put together a plan to get the message of your business out the way Jeff Lebby got the message out to us today in his press conference. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216 and tell them that you've seen the sign. I'm changing up the slogan. Tell them that you've seen the sign and you want to work with Pip Printing and Signs.
Okay.
All right, then.
You opened up your eyes.
And I saw the sign. And the sign is this. I don't think it's the tackling as much as it was the system. Lebby doesn't want to throw his coaches under the bus. And I don't know that he's really throwing players under the bus here. Because it's not like he was like there, yeah, Stone Blanton missed a bunch. He said it's the defense. It's everybody that's a whole. It's a team-wide problem. But the real problem was State was light in the box against a team that didn't want to throw the football and took entirely too long to adjust to it. And so the sign I want to see now is a quicker trigger finger when it comes to adjustments. You cannot go 2.5 quarters and let a team just continually gash you right up the middle before you decide, maybe I need to bring another guy into the box. Maybe I need to play a fourth defensive lineman. What do I say all the time? Coaches rather lose their way than win somebody else's. That was a prime example of Coleman Hutzler not wanting to get out of the 3-3-5 and do what needed to be done earlier in the game. They should have been in four-man front after the second drive of the game.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that were true that we were talking about on Monday. But, yeah, I think you can say both. The tackling was bad. The fundamentals are bad. But, you know, some of that is on the coaches to fix that. Your fundamentals should be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this team lacks in depth and lacks in talent in a lot of areas, you still should be doing that. I mean, you have no leeway at this point. You have no rope. Like, you have got to be able to be on your P's and Q's and doing all the little things right. Because if you don't, you're going to get beat by almost everybody on the schedule. I think you can beat UMass and Toledo. But everybody else, it's going to be tough. He did say, when I asked about the running game, defending the running game, that there was probably some plays that Coleman Hutzler would like to have back.
Right.
That there, you know, and I think he didn't want to just, like, call out Coleman Hutzler, but he said, you know, like me on offense, I think Hutzler would probably, there were some things that he wanted to do differently, too.
I mean, I think Hutzler would say the same.
But you're exactly right in the fact that, like, if you see that you're struggling to defend the run, even if you're struggling to tackle, you got to put more people around the ball to make those tackles. This guy misses a tackle. Let's have somebody else there available to make the tackle. So having three people on the line of scrimmage and Stone Blanton against a team that's averaging 8 yards a rush, I don't think that accomplishes much for you. It puts you in a spot where if your team's struggling to tackle, it's going to be a lot harder to bring those guys down. So I'm the same way. I blame the play calling on that, the scheme, for why they didn't have success against the run. And they might have stacked the box and missed, you know, 20 more tackles. I don't know. But I would much rather have the ability to make a tackle with the line of scrimmage than making a tackle 6 yards down the field, because you essentially have five people in that box blocking four. And moving those people out of the way, and then finally somebody from the defensive backfield comes up and makes a tackle, like Isaac Smith, who had 17 stops in that game, makes a tackle 8 yards down the field. That's not conducive for success.
I want to see a game where you win where your safety has 17 tackles. It's not possible. If you tell me a safety has 17 tackles,
it's possible. State.
I guess
they
could have won
it.
41-38, 30 or something like that. Yeah,
but not in a way that your defense is playing well.
No.
And I think that he is going to make more tackles around the line of scrimmage or like 3 yards past line of scrimmage than a lot of safeties are, just because that's the position that he plays and that's his strength.
Yeah.
But a lot of the tackles he was making was after missed tackles or having to stop a guy like Scadaboo 8-10 yards down the field. That's not what you want. But he's top five in the country in tackles.
Yeah, not good when the safety is that. Yeah. Like, I didn't have a problem with Buki and Jet being there, but Isaac Smith is not the spot for him.
Yeah, and I'm okay with 10 tackles.
Yeah,
if he's making 10 tackles, I'm good with that. But if he's your leading tackler every week, I think it says more about your defense than it does.
I agree with that.
Him, which I'm glad that he's having a lot of success and he's playing good football. But yeah.
Another thing Lebby talked about today was culture, and I like the way he put this. I mean, and this is just maybe like a side note, but I thought it was well said. He talked about the culture they've built is for these kind of days, not for the easy days. And I thought that was something that's a good point, right? You don't, anybody can. It's easy to have good culture and everybody be on the same page and have good energy when you're winning, right? It's how you show up the day after a loss. And he said that he felt like. Everybody, he felt like it was good. And here's what I think, because when we've dealt with Lebby, he's told us when he thought practice was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think if practice had been bad and if everybody came in with their heads down in the dumps, he would have been like, we got to get these guys right. But I think he would have told us that. So, I feel like that's a good sign for Mississippi State. They could not have had much culture. And I think culture is a word that somebody gets overused. It becomes an excuse for losing when you don't have talent. Yeah. Oh, they don't have good enough culture. Well, no, they're just not a very good basketball team, football team, whatever it is. But in this case, I don't know that, he walked into a locker room that didn't have a lot going for it, and then he had to add a lot of new faces to it. So whatever culture they have is fresh. It's everything's new to everybody in that locker room, so they're trying to find leaders. They're trying to figure out whose voice you want to listen to. It's going to be tough, because this season was already going to be tough. It just got a lot tougher with this loss on Saturday night. They got to keep that energy big time.
Yeah, and you got to win every game that's available to win just to kind of keep your head above water and keep the positivity moving along. That's what's so big for this team this year, because there is going to be a lot of adversity over this next month. And into October, when you got to go on the road and face the monsters you're about to play, that is really going to test your will, and that's really going to test this coaching staff. Because that's what he said is, and I think you'd asked him about the, the lessons that you learn in defeat, just like you did in victory, and he talked about how the consistency has to be there with the coaching staff. They've got to be the same people that they are. After wins, when they lose,
yeah.
So if they're doing that, if they're the same people every single time, and they don't change it up, and they're being honest with kids, things like that, and you can kind of keep those guys up. And the important part is the players, the accountability that they have with each other. They're going to have to fight through the tough times, not point fingers at each other or. Kind of get down on playing time, stuff like that, and have that strife in the locker room, because you've got to make it out of this season alive and have something to be excited about going into next year.
Yeah.
This season is transition year. Mm-hmm. This season is taking whatever success you can build over the course of 12 ball games and moving it into a year where you've establish relationships in recruiting, and you're able to kind of get a jump start on the transfer portal. You've shown something on the field, and you have something to sell that you didn't have whenever you took over. So this is a really big year in that regard.
Yes, it absolutely is for Mississippi State.
And also, but, did we talk about Eric Taylor?
We just mentioned, not a big loss.
I mean,
it's depth, but
it's big in the fact that you don't have depth there, and obviously the guy is basically Chris Jones on NCAA football. I don't know who got a hold of his rankings on the game, but he is virtually unstoppable in there. He averages like 2 or 3 sacks a game on my football game. Have not seen that at Mississippi State, mm-hmm. but on the game, he's pretty darn good. So I guess it could be a loss if you update the rosters.
Yeah,
next
if you buy
week.
The game after the next roster update, you will lose out on Eric Taylor. That's a tough one. That is a tough one for sure. SEC announced kickoff times for next weekend. Now, they had already announced Mississippi State's kickoff time back in the summer, 11 a.m. We all knew that. They did put on the graphic that it's 11 p.m. If that is accurate and they've changed it and it's an 11 p.m. Kick, I'm not coming.
I will not be there.
I can't. I did everything I could at this 9:30 and it nearly killed me. I definitely cannot do 11 p.m.
I'll just watch the game from the house and we'll accept
I may not watch
any criticism.
I may wake up in the morning. I may just DVR, and I don't know if DVR is still a thing. I may record it and just come back to it. So,
how will the fans survive without you being there and tweeting?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's tough times. Not a great slate next week either. Ohio at Kentucky is 11:45 on SEC Network. State's on ESPN, by the way. Arkansas-Auburn is or LSU-UCLA. So I guess they're going to wait and see. We'll go through the schedule in a week, but the main thing there, I think, is LSU. If LSU loses to South Carolina, they're the later game. They'll be on ESPN2 at 3:15. The other game is at 2:30. Arkansas at Auburn, 2:30. Vanderbilt, Missouri also. I guess that's another one. I guess that could be your 2:30 ABC game. If Vanderbilt wins, and they should, and Missouri wins, they're playing a ranked Boston College team. That's two undefeated teams. Why not give Vanderbilt on ABC? I like it. Let's do it. Tennessee at Oklahoma is your night game of note. That is at 6:30. Then you have ESPNU Akron at South Carolina. Oh, Joe. Joe making the rounds this year. He's seeing all of our old friends. Bowling Green at A&M is on ESPN+. Ole Miss hosts Georgia Southern, SEC Network, and on ESPN+ as well, ULM at Texas at 7 o'clock. So that's your Week 4 schedule. In the SEC. Let's pick the Week 3 schedule. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's football season. It's grilling season. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. When you're cooking out this weekend, make sure that beef is on the menu. And if you don't feel like cooking out and you just want to grab a steak somewhere, we have so many great steakhouses in this state. You can't drive more than 5 miles without finding one. If you live in a small town or a big town here in the state of Mississippi, there's a place making big-time steaks wherever you are. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. My friends, when you want to have a great meal in Starkville, you can't go wrong with a trip to the Cotton District and go see our friends at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. And if you don't want Two Brothers, you want to go somewhere a little different, a little more upscale, a little more avant-garde, a little more fancy.
A little fancy.
Fancy. You go to the Older Brother and you get you a fancy sandwich. Such a great place. It's fantastic. If you haven't been to the Older Brother yet, you've got to check it out soon. Two Brother Smoked Meats and the Older Brother, two of my favorite places in Starkville. You can almost always find me there. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and that's what's been going on for 50 years. 50. So, when you need any kind of technology for your business, you need to give Advantage Business Systems a call, and they'll take care of everything for you. And then when something goes wrong down the road and you need some service, it's the same phone number, and it's an easy questions. It's not difficult. You're not on hold. You're not dealing with an out-of-state person to come in a week to 10 days. None of that's the case. It's all easily done at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co., because Maroon & Co. is the place to be for the Mississippi State gear that you want when you come to Starkville. When you're in Starkville and you need a new polo, a new hat, you want to take something home, Maroon & Co. is the place you need to get it. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off regular price when you buy at Maroon & Co. That's in-store or online. Before you go to Davis Wade this weekend, you need to head to Maroon & Co. All right, we're 2 weeks in. We haven't made a pick different, Robbie. So I'm going to pick a game for you so that you have a different pick for me. And that is you're going to take Texas San Antonio to beat Texas.
Okay,
so
you're just going to just force me to.
I mean, we got to do something. We got to have some drama. So I just thought we'd go with that. So you'll go with the Roadrunners. No.
Okay, you're going to go with. I guess
you get to pick one for me. Yeah.
Brian's picking Wake Forest to beat Ole Miss.
We should do that every week. We just do that and just that way. Okay. There's actually something to that, right? Because then it makes that game have some stakes. Like, there's no way.
We
got to
watch it.
Well, it's like, if it's 7-0 Wake Forest, they just come out on the first drive and score. I mean, what am I doing? I'm just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That'd be so fun. We should have, like, a time bomb game in there. That's actually a fun idea. Maybe next year.
A time bomb game.
Yeah, it's like, you got to watch. You're like, what happens if? We have to pick the biggest underdog each week. But if we both do it, it doesn't matter. But then if something happens, it's funny. That's actually a fun idea. Well, maybe
there's
next year.
Some decent games on. Yeah, this week. Let's go. Absolutely hate the way the SEC does the schedule.
Yeah,
that's why
I just got the helmet schedule.
My gosh, it's so bad.
So here's the ones that we'll probably agree on. Arkansas will beat UAB. Do we agree on Auburn beating New Mexico? If it was New Mexico State,
Struggled with New Mexico State last year, but I don't think that's New Mexico.
They'll be all right.
I think that'll work.
All right. Ole Miss beats Wake Forest.
You would think.
All right. Oklahoma beats Tulane.
That's interesting, but yeah.
Tulane hung around with Kansas State.
Oklahoma
this past
struggled
weekend.
With Houston to get the Barbe bombs.
Yeah. They've scored 19 points, Houston, in two games, by the way.
Oof.
Tennessee will definitely beat Kent State. Texas will beat UTSA. Vanderbilt at Georgia State. Any worries there?
No.
All right, we'll go to the Commodores. All right, so we'll go with the ones we'll have a little debate on. Alabama at Wisconsin. I wish this game was at night. That place would be an absolute zoo.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, it's the big nude game on Fox. Wisconsin has not been great this year. Fickell has not gone the way I thought he would. I thought he would get that program going in the right direction. So far, it's not great. I'll take the Tide.
Yeah, I think so. But okay. But listen, they did not look good against South Florida.
No.
I watched most of that game. Somehow scored like three touchdowns in 3 minutes. But it went from like it was a one-point game to all of a sudden you look up and it was 42 to whatever.
They scored 28 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so Bama's going to have some issues, man. Their fan base was like going nuts in the crowd.
Well, they're off next week and then they play Georgia. So we're gonna find out real soon on good old Alabama.
It was fun watching their fans just like freak out because of the possibility they might lose to South Florida. The shot of the sorority girls in the crowd, which I've never seen so many sorority girls out of football.
I laughed
at
people thinking that you were in horny jail there or something. Yeah, like I'm talking about this game, you idiots. All right,
freaks.
Game, this is maybe the biggest game in Billy Napier's career right here, right? They host Texas A&M. They have to win. They have to win this game. I don't think they're going to win this game.
I don't think they are either.
So we'll both take the Aggies.
So has there been an announcement on Graham Mertz?
They're gonna split time.
Ooh. The beginning of the end.
Nothing.
This is not
worse. You got to just make the change.
Billy Napier's just got to say, look, this guy gives me the best chance.
You got to make the change.
Which is crazy because we were, a month ago,
we were talking about Graham Mertz.
Yeah.
All right. Georgia at Kentucky. You know, after week one, I was like, well, that could be an interesting game. I read off Brock Vandergriff's stats on yesterday's show.
Oh.
They were putrid. I don't think he's going to get revenge there. So, I guess we could have probably included this in the ones we'll agree on. But surely Georgia wins at Kentucky. So,
yeah.
Move forward there.
Kentucky kind of stunk.
Yeah. College game day is in South Carolina for LSU. Well, because they can't go to Alabama, Wisconsin.
Just nothing else.
Around the country, there's not a whole lot else. So that's your best
South
game.
Carolina almost lost to Old Dominion.
And then blew out Kentucky.
I don't know what to think about this team.
They're either going to be really good this year or something's wrong and that is something wrong with Kentucky, I guess.
The only thing I know for sure is that Dylan Stewart, their defensive end, isn't that his name?
Yes, he's good.
Is going to make $1 million in the transfer portal next year.
He'll be at Alabama.
He will not be at South Carolina.
No chance. Who do you like here?
I think I like LSU.
I think I agree with you.
They can't
run the ball, though.
Yeah, and you know, John Emery going down was a massive blow. He actually looked pretty good in that game against USC, but LSU, the talent gap, I feel like, is still large here for LSU, and we always seem to count them out after they struggle in that first week, and then they just kind of figure it out. I think they're going to start building some momentum here, so I think I'm going to go with LSU.
Me too. I just can't pull the trigger on South Carolina.
No, I just...
All right.
I think with a quarterback, a young quarterback like they have, there's going to be some inconsistencies there.
There is one top 25 matchup in the SEC this weekend, and it is Boston College at Missouri.
5 years ago, if somebody like said, Boston College and Missouri are going to play a top 25 game in 2024.
And it's the only top 25 game in the SEC.
And one of the teams is top 10.
Yeah. At Missouri. Missouri has been really good this year. Have they given up a point yet?
I didn't keep up with their game last week.
I'm pretty sure they shut them out. Let me see. Missouri.
Missouri has turned into a really solid team. I think they have not given up
a point just yet. Boston College.
Now, the two teams they played suck.
But they haven't given up a point. Yeah, not even a field impressive. Goal. I mean, Ole Miss has played two crappy teams. They gave up 3 points. Yeah. I love that little quarterback, though.
For Boston College.
Castellano. I like him.
Castellanos.
Yeah. Yeah, Castellanos. Yeah.
Any relation to Nick?
No. No. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
I'm going with Missouri.
Yeah, I think I will. So, another week. All right, next week then, we'll see if that... This is a war of attrition between you and I at this point.
Who's going to blink first?
Yeah. Well, like next week, let me see here. Next week we have some chances, but the week after that, you have Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, A&M, Auburn, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Ole Miss. Well, Kentucky, Ole Miss, not really. So yeah, we got some opportunities in the next couple weeks. We're going to start seeing some separation here very soon. Tomorrow show's the Rumblings, so you know what to do. Get the questions in, and we will answer them. Plenty to talk about this week on Thunder and Lightning. Guys, have a great Tuesday, and we'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.